Stuck in a job you hate? Wish you could break into tech, but don't know where to start? CBG Nuggets makes IT training simple, affordable, and dare we say, fun. With short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs, you can build real-world skills right from your browser. No expensive hardware, no confusing software. Just practical training that gets you job ready. Learn at your own pace, on your own schedule, from anywhere. Start your 7-day free trial at cbtnuggets.com. Because a better career is just a few clicks away.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The show is not suitable for children, sensitive men, or insecure women.
Can you trust somebody that doesn't take care of their kids?
I don't trust no man on earth that does not take care of their children.
What's the biggest red flag in a relationship?
Low effort and not being honest.
Most of the time, you would think that a bad financial mistake would be spending money on clothes or vacation or like spending money on women. My worst financial mistake was buying a home. Like a king, give me my
crown. Game time. Appreciate y'all.
You.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Favorite day of the week.
That's a fact. We back, man.
Absolutely.
We back.
A diplomatic community.
Huh?
What you got?
Oh, yeah, man. Shout out to everybody that's been sending me merch. Like I said, we're going to put a pause on the merch for the moment because I got a lot of it. But, this hat, courtesy of No Magic. So it's No Magic with a K. So N-O M-A-G-I-K. Gotcha. That's the brand. And the Instagram is No Magic with a K 2.0. So they did this collaboration with Jim Jones for his album. They sent me a few different hats. But this one, of course, I like. I'm a fan of Dipset and that whole movement. They did a collaboration when he dropped his album at the church's steps. And they sent me, like, pins. The hat, stickers. So shout out to Jim Jones. Shout out to No Magic.
Shout out to Cabo.
Like I said, No Magic 2.0. It's fire. They got fire hats. Yeah, for sure. So I appreciate that. And then of course, we're just going with the classic EYL, assets over liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Support black business. That's important.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Hey, but I don't think I got enough credit, but that Jeezy, I want to watch that like maybe 4 or 5 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
That masterpiece. I don't know why people don't put it in that Steve Harvey collection. Ooh, fire cinematography. I was like, y'all shot this shit on a 9K.
Appreciate that, man.
Yeah,
shout out to Snowman.
For sure.
Okay. Get your tickets to Invest Fest.
Absolutely.
Investfest.com. This is going to be the most important year, man. So much stuff we're talking about with Donald Trump, with tariffs, with the stock market, with real estate, with AI. Like, mm-hmm. This is something that you can't afford to, you know, relationships, the power of relationships, the power of the information, being outside, putting the plays together. It's a magical situation. So,
for sure.
You know, I think that it's important. So, we're going, get your tickets, get your vendor booths.
For sure.
E-commerce, whatever business you got, merch, get your vendor booths, all information on investfest.com.
And have your plan too. Other than giving out business cards, give out a 3-step plan for how you're going to help all the vendors, find out how you can help the other vendors and collaborate there. I know everyone wants to be in their own space, but I think one of the ways to grow exponentially is by helping others. So start working on that plan now. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I'm starting to work on presentation now. So get ready. Do not take it for granted. And even though we have a tremendous opportunity with AI to create a lot, there's going to be a lot of job contraction. And who knows what's going to happen with this tariff situation and how long it'll last. Even looking at the market, like Foot Locker could go out of business. Like an American iconic brand could go out of business. Nike is looking, Under Armour is at less than $7. Crazy. XRP probably hit $7 before Under Armour will.
That's a fact.
Crazy.
That's so a fact.
Go to InvestFest for sure. If you need a plan to make it through these tumultuous times.
Okay. Now, any thing you'd like to say on your end?
Let's have an amazing show. If you want to get rich from the market, go to ianinvest.com. If you want to know where to get in, where to get out, what stocks to stay away from, when to take profit, how to trade in this tumultuous market. If I've made you money, please put yes in chat. And let's have an amazing show.
Okay. All right, let's get to it. Okay. Let's start it off with some, you know, let's warm it up a little bit. Why do you think people do not follow their intuition when they know something is bad for them?
That's a great question. A lot of times I think it's probably because of fear. I'm learning, like, you have like what you was talking about in your post, like you have hustlers and then people that is like let life happen to them. I think emotionally a lot of times people get very comfortable and they'll rather be mistreated with a comfort they know opposed to walking away and just finding something new, whether it's relationship, friendship, business relationship. I don't think you should discard of anyone, but I'm seeing a lot of questions when I ask about blackout. They're like, well, I knew this wasn't going to go right. Or even like what Kanye referenced to Kim, he's like, I knew 2 months in I shouldn't have had a child with her, but you did. So you are a very fearless person. You stoic, but you fearless as hell. Why do you think most people don't follow their intuition the first time when they need to make an adjustment?
Well, I'll say this. Somebody said this to me and it made a lot of sense. Your intuition is God whispering to you. That's important to follow your intuition. But I can understand why people don't follow their intuition, because you try to rationalize things, or you think that, no, this isn't really, you know, or you might want something to work so bad that, you know, because, I mean, you could be like, I got this feeling, but what if this feeling is wrong, right? But 9 times out of 10, your intuition is going to be right. And the Kanye thing, you know, I don't really want to talk about Kanye too much. Yeah, but it's an interesting overall topic as far as him saying that he didn't want to have children with her, but he ended up having. Because that's something that not only children, but people in relationships with people, and like, I don't really want to get married to this person, but they end up getting married to them. Or I don't really want to take this job. I don't really want to go to this school. I don't really want it. Like, that happens all the time.
Suddenly,
but deep down in your spirit, you feel like, I don't want to actually do this. But you end up doing it anyway, because you rationalize it. You're like, you know, I don't have too many other options. It's whatever. Like, you know, my family wants me to do this. If it don't feel right, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And I'll tell y'all personally, a lot of times, like, I'll ask you, hey, what you think about this? Like, what you think you should do? It's great advice, because oftentimes we're looking for somebody to reinforce the wrong decision we want to make. It's like when a lot of people be like, oh, this penny stock, man, I can get it at 8 cents. And if I put 20, bro, if it was a great idea, you wouldn't even have to ask anybody for a second opinion about it. So I think it's very important, especially as time is going by faster. And I don't know what's going to happen geopolitically. You have to hone your spiritual gifts to be able to listen to your intuition and trust yourself. Because a lot of times, And I'm sure you've seen it. I know a bunch of amazing men who made two or three bad decisions and it messed up their life for 10 or 15 years. You can't escape that math. You can't. So if you know deep down something is not right for you, be fearless enough to say, hey, this isn't for me.
Yeah, right. Absolutely right. And yeah. Always follow your intuition. Listen to your intuition. Now, just because you have a great feeling about something doesn't mean it's going to work out. It's not a guarantee.
That's true.
Nothing in life is guaranteed. You gotta be able to live with, you know, things not working out.
You make, yeah.
But
you have to hone that skill though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't have fear. A lot of time people will state like, okay, I don't really want to get married to this person, but I'm scared of leaving. I don't really want to go to this school, but I'm scared that if I don't take this offer, there's no, my future is doomed. I don't really want to work this job, but if I don't take this position right now, I'll never be able to get into the industry. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really want to do X, Y, and Z. So you can't live in fear. You have to have an abundance mindset. Sometimes you do have to do things, of course, but just know, just because you're like fully convinced yourself that something is good doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work out.
And continue to work on yourself so the things that you want come to you. In addition to the abundance mindset, you have to have an abundant amount of action that you take to make those dreams come true. I know on social media, everything looks easy, but it takes a lot of days of work, a lot of days of prayer. So yeah, hone that gift so you don't end up in these situations. Because I know a lot of talented people that got derailed by one or two bad, whether it's relationship, partnership. I'll see a lot of people clicking up who I know don't like each other. But you guys are hanging together because you have a common enemy and somebody who's doing better than you. It's crazy.
All right. So now let's spice it up. Marvin Sapp. He the crazy thing about that, that happened a year ago. I just found out. That's the crazy thing about social, from what I heard. That's the crazy thing about social media. Things could just pop up and resurface. And you know, I don't know what made it go viral or what made it pop up. But I'm sure everybody has. So do we need to show the clip?
I think everyone here should have, but maybe.
Yeah, let's show the clip. Let's show the clip. Okay, let's show the clip.
There's 1,000 of you. I said close them doors. Ushers, close the doors. Close the doors. Close the doors. It's 1,000 that's watching online. This is a small seed. If I get 1,000 online to give this, if I get 1,000 in the sanctuary to give this, that's $40,000 tonight. Now, everyone up here, we've all sowed and seeded, but I need everyone standing up here with us, with me, to plant a seed of $100. Because again, it costs to sit up here. And this is what I need you to do. If you're giving electronically, or even if you're giving tangibly, I'm gonna have y'all come to the altar and give it, because I need to see 1,000 people moving. Bring them baskets. I want the baskets up here. I want to see the folk. Y'all start moving. Y'all can bring it right now. Come. 1,000 people need to give $20. 1,000 people need to give $20. 1,000 people online need to give $20. This is easy, saints.
Okay, so there you have it. That's a clip of, I think he's a guy. Is he a gospel singer?
Yeah, he got a hit song. Never Would Have Made It. What?
Oh, yeah, that's his song, right?
That's one of the greatest gospel songs of all time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's his song. So yeah. He's a preacher now, though. Yeah. So as you can see, he closed the doors. Legendary. He said this was taken out of context. He said that, you know, it wasn't showing his full totality. Okay, whatever.
If you say something five times, what's the context that's missing?
You know, the dangerous thing about this is that, I mean, technically you might say that this is kidnapping, extortion.
Extortion.
You start to walk very thin line. So what's your thoughts on this?
I wanted to initially have a measured approach about this, but I want to talk to my Christian specifically because I grew up in a Christian Methodist church environment. I want to be very honest. It's part of the reason why people hate going to church now. Amazing artist. I'm sure he was having a bad day. Maybe he had a financial constraint, right? But when it feels like you're acting like Debo off of Friday inside of a congregation, when so many tumultuous things have happened inside of religious experiences, Catholicism, Baptist organizations, Methodists, etc. When we have a degradation of people who don't want to go to church anymore, this is part of the reason why. A lot of people have gotten their heart broken inside of churches, and I get that you shouldn't quit for that reason. But to demand an amount of money, $40,000, which is an exorbitant number for most of the congregation to hear, when most of the congregation and most churches never see that directly benefit them, is fucking absurd. Like, if most church, like, the reason and inspiration behind Market Mondays for sure for me was to give the information that I wish that I got on Sundays when I was in church as a kid. Most religious organizations don't even give you the tool set to allow you to be okay Monday through Saturday. So to then lock the doors and act like you another gentleman who in trouble right now is insane to me. So I'm sure you had a bad day, but I hate this. I do not fuck with this at all. But what do you think? Christians, you got to do a better job at branding. I'm going to be real. I know a lot of people ask, hey, come to church, come to my church. My pastor's amazing. Where's the give back? I know some do, but majority don't. My bad, brother.
Yeah. It's embarrassing for sure. And, you know, everybody has their own religious beliefs, but I was always taught that the best charity is unknown. Meaning, like, I can't force you. I could tell you, okay, look, this is what's going on, this is, you know, and you give me whatever you can give me. If you're able to give me something or give something to that cause, that's a blessing. If you're not able to give something to the cause, then maybe you can help in other ways. Maybe you can help spread the message on social media, or maybe you can help physically with your hands as far as working, or maybe you can help just in prayer, right? If you're not able to, right? But I was always taught that the best way to give is anonymously. Yeah. So when you're telling people to come up to the front because I want to see you, well, that's not anonymous, right? You're putting people on Front Street. It's embarrassing. And you're literally forcing people to do this, right? Because if you don't, and I've been in situations like this before where you don't really have a, nobody wants to be the one person that's not giving money, right? It's an effective way to get money for sure.
Short term for sure.
But it's like, that's just not the best way to go about it. I don't feel that's the best way to go about it. And then when you start to say lock the doors, and that lets me think that we're not leaving until this amount of money is raised, right? Like, or close the doors. He said close the doors. Right? I don't know. I just feel like that's, no matter what context that was in, how is that something that is righteous? You're going to force people to give money. You don't know what they have, what they don't have. Then you're going to embarrass them by saying, come up to the front, I want to see you. Then you're going to say, we're not leaving until we raise this amount of money. Like, with a bust down
Rolly, the money for?
With a bust down Rolly on your wrist.
Go to Johnny Dang and sell your damn Rolex.
Like, a bust down at that. You got a bust down Rolly on your wrist while making a demand for $40,000. It's not tastefully done.
At all. Once again, maybe he had a bad day, but where is the money going? If we did this at Market Mondays Live, Giuliani, what? Mike Bloomberg, they'll shut the city down. Lock us up. What? the aggressive spiritual mastermind play, and you don't even know where the money is going.
And the same thing could be true in any space, like even for us, like whether it's EYL University, whether it's Red Panda, whether it's InvestFest, whether we do a sale, we have products and services we offer. We'll make a sale every now and then. And if you want to buy it, you can buy it, right?
Yep.
There's up. If you don't want to buy it, you don't have to buy it. And you can just tune into the show. There's other people in the space that they train and they get psychological training on how to actually, it's the same thing. They do the same exact thing.
NLP training. Yeah.
Yeah, and they string you along and then they hold you out and then they make you feel bad and then they put things on you. Like, I'm never going to, like, that happens all the time. That's, I've seen that happen too. Mm-hmm. And then they do events and then they sell on the stage of the event. It's just, it's no different than going to church in that, yeah, that type of church. For sure. We make an offer. I mean, you got the product. The product gonna speak for itself. You know, if you buy it, you buy it. If you don't buy it, don't buy it. It's the same thing with, like, I feel like that's how charity should be. You should tell the congregation to give money, because that's your job as somebody that's the preacher. You have to rally the troops, right? You got to try to get the money. So you make the case. Okay, this is what we need. This is what we're doing. This is what we're going. You know, this, we will really need your help. We're short and we're struggling. We need your support. All right, that's fine. And then you at that point just leaving in their hands. Here, you know, whatever you can do is greatly appreciated. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Because if you've had impact on somebody's life, there's going to be a high earner in there that you can go to and say, "Hey, brother, the building caught on fire. Can you $10,000?" 20 grand, but to go about it this way, I don't like the D-ball.
Like you said, you got to see results. See, in business, in the for-profit, like, we're for-profit, right? So we don't ask for donations. You're not supporting anything that we do. It's not support. It's a consumer relationship. You would only pay for it if you find said value in it, right? Yep. So you pay for InvestFest because you think you're going to get value from it. You pay for Red Panda because you think you're going to get value from it. You pay for your university because you think you're going to get value from it. That's a different proposition of charity. Whereas charity, you're giving money for a cause. So, yeah, you know, I just always thought that's the best way to go about it. Just, you know, to be anonymous, not put pressure on people and all that. So, you know, hopefully this is a learning experience for him. But he's dead wrong for that. Like, we're not just going to keep making excuses for people. I don't care about people use that context thing. That's like the get out of jail free card of, like, yo, yeah, did you watch?
I got hacked.
Did you watch the full video in entirety? It's out of context. There's no context to tell people to come to the front of the congregation and shut the doors. We're not leaving until we get 40,000 with a bust down rollie on your wrist. That's you dead wrong for that, bro. You know you was wrong for that. Just about
my 1,000 of y'all in here and 1,000 online. Why are you pocket watching?
Just apologize, bro. Just say, like, you know what? I was wrong. I got caught up. I got emotional. I was, you know, I was high off my sermon. And, you know, I went too far. I took it too far.
Yeah. Or give more value. Or give more value. I think this should have been installed in every school in the nation and every church in the nation. And a lot of congregations or leadership don't want it. There's other parts that's not talked about. So give more value. I'm not judging. I don't think he's a horrible person as a result, but this was egregious.
Yeah, you're egregious. Dead wrong. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh. All right. So Kano? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Oh, Kino. Kino. Yeah. Yeah,
from Joe Button. Is that Joe Button? Is he related to Joe Button?
Friend.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah.
Kino and his girl, Edith.
Shout Kino.
But they got that relationship podcast on Joe Button Network.
Yeah, Power Wives.
So I seen a couple clips. I never watched it, but apparently she wants a prenup and he doesn't. Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, he was asked if he would get a prenup and he said, "No, I never would do that." And then shout to Edith. She said that the money that I have pre-relationship is for my kids and for me.
I saw that clip. So that's the same clip?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then that's when Joe Button kind of went on his thing. So I never heard of a man turn it. I never heard this situation reversed before. Usually it's the other way around. Usually it's the woman that would say, I don't want a prenup. And the guy is saying, I want a prenup. It's never really the other way around where the woman is saying that she wants a prenup.
Yep.
And the guy is saying that he does not want a prenup.
She gave a masterclass too of how to answer this. I said, I never thought of the angle. So shout out to Edith for the masterclass and how to have these conversations with grace. Shout out to Imani. But if you were in a relationship and a person wanted a prenup and you didn't, would that be like rules to not move forward hypothetically? Only hypothetically.
No, because the only reason why I would have a problem with that is if I was trying to get something out of that person.
Bravo. But I think finding out that your woman had more money than you live on the show is kind of crazy. Shout out to Kino, shout out to Joe, shout out to Ian, Corey. Ooh, see you. But boy, what?
Explosive.
Hella assets over liabilities. Wait, what? And these are for the kids. The
explosive revelation.
Mm. How do you have them conversations early? Going back to the being fearless part, like I think, let's take Kino out of it. I think a lot of people don't have that prenup asset conversation. What happens if we split, how I'll provide or not provide? Why do you think more people? Maybe this could be a conversation at InvestFest if we can find the right person, but how to have these conversations so it doesn't ruin a relationship or you find out in this way?
Ask. I mean, I guess that's the only way, right? It's no, we could complicate this more, but ask. Yeah. Ask, like, you know, hey, what assets do you, I mean, I feel like once you get to that point, you know, it's a sticky situation, you know, to kind of get into people's personal business as far as that, but you know, you can find a way to have a conversation. It's like, you know, do you own any real estate? Do you own any stocks? Like, do you have, you know, business? Like, you know, you can kind of get a vibe, a feel. Like, you know, I know you was married, because she was married before with kids. So, you know, when you were married in your last relationship, did you have a settlement package that you was, you know?
Settlement package, crazy, but you're right.
Gotta ask.
And fellas, you got, see, this would have, see, if you teach them a little bit of something like every Friday, it's easier to have these conversations too. Because then you get to see the acumen. Like most people that don't have any assets, they're not going to be able to keep up in a conversation about geopolitics. That's why y'all should watch Blackout and Market Mondays and EYL, which is Significant Other. It's a good way to gauge the aptitude. So
that's a fact, though. Well, let's play this clip, though. The guy that says that the lawyer that says that prenup should be mandatory. Let's play this clip.
There is this negative stigma about a prenup because we only think about these people with tons of assets that are doing it to protect it from a gold digger.
People that don't have as much are the ones who really have to worry about how do we divide it and protect it. And I just don't think it makes it unromantic. Every marriage ends. It ends in death or in divorce. Your marriage will end, I promise. I hope it ends in death. That's a weird thing to say to a person. But I do. Yeah. The only two options is just going to end in death or divorce.
Right.
You have life insurance.
Yeah.
No one ever would look at you and go, you're so morbid with that life insurance. Like, why would you think you have to do that?
Yeah,
I'm protecting
right.
these people that I love. Yeah. When I was early in my career, they had these wedding fairs. Have you ever seen, I don't know if any of you were forced to do, you chose well if you didn't have to do this.
Where you go see a bunch of vendors or something?
Yes.
My wife did that.
Okay, yeah. so she didn't make you go?
No, she's my sister.
You ever want to see sad men? These things, they have photographers, the cake people, the invitations,
criminals,
the little swags. All of
them,
the whole wedding industrial complex.
Purpose than you.
Oh, please, I'm not the scavenger.
Yeah,
in this
yeah,
fight.
Yeah.
I don't make it rain.
Yeah.
I sell the umbrella. Like these fucking people.
Okay, because this kind of plays into it. So, okay, saying that prenups should be mandatory.
He's a divorce lawyer.
I'm not against this.
Neither am I.
I'm not against this because I feel like it's just a form of insurance. That's all it is. Like people be like, yo, getting a prenup is like cursing your marriage because you're going into it thinking it's going to fail. Well, is getting fire insurance on your home, cursing your home because you're going is getting car insurance on your car,
yep.
cursing
errors and omission.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
So you it's just a form of protection. Hopefully you never have to use it. But why not have an exit plan, especially in the United States of America? Like I was talking to my friend who's from Egypt, and she was just saying, like in Egypt, like you get married, like you go, you get married, you get a witness, imam marries you, and then you marry. And then if you get a, if you want to get a divorce, the next day you can get a divorce. Mm. Being that we live in a society where that's not the case, right?
Yep.
You can't just go and get married and you can't just go and get divorced. That's not how it works. Okay. Being that we're in that society where it's extremely complicated on both ends, but extremely, extremely complicated on the dissolving end. Even if it's a non-contested divorce. So a non-contested divorce is if you and your partner agree to everything.
Everything.
You
yep.
still got to submit paperwork and the judge got to approve it and all that. Like you, if we say, okay, it's a non-contested divorce, you still can't just get divorced tomorrow. You still got to submit the paperwork, pay for it to actually be filed correctly. You got to send it to the judge. The judge has to look it over. There's still a process, even in non-contested divorces that can yeah. take weeks, sometimes months. So being that we live in that type of society, that it was already involved paperwork. Well, why not just add one more piece of paperwork?
And post-depression, this really kicked up because America and family law, whether it's divorce or child support, doesn't want entitlements to pile up on the state because no one wants to tell the truth that most states have run out of money and they can't afford to take care of American citizens if they fall upon a hardship. So, I know this can be like a tumultuous conversation to have and very sticky, but better to have it early and often opposed to ending up in family law and the lawyers are making a ton of money off of you and then everything that you work for gets stripped away.
So. And here's another gem. It's better to negotiate when times are good than when times are bad.
For sure. Say that again. Yep. Right on vacation. Everything going good.
Yeah. Because that's how you really feel. It's like, all right. We can have a conversation and say I was married, right? Hypothetically speaking. Or I'm getting engaged, right? Now, we obviously are in a good space because we're engaged and we're getting married, right? Yep. So even if there's difficult situations, we can have rational conversations to be like, a difficult situation is like visitation for children, right? Or who's yep. the primary. So we can literally, even if we don't agree, we can have a rational conversation and we might learn stuff about each other in this conversation, right?
You definitely
we
can
come, will. Come like, all right, you know what? He's going to stay with you during the week. He's going to call me during the weekends. That we agree that this makes the most sense for us. That even if that makes the most sense when times are bad in divorce, when it's over, out of spite, we're not going to make this work. Because then I'm going to try to fight for everything. She's going to try to fight for everything. So now you're trying to negotiate in hatred. That's one of the hardest negotiations to do.
Yeah,
it's hard to negotiate in the middle of hatred. It's easy to negotiate in the middle of peace.
Yep.
So work out the details when you're peaceful, as opposed to when things burn apart and now you gotta try to figure it out then.
Yeah, because if not, you'll end up like how America is with the Trump tariff situation, and it'd be hell on earth. So, and fellas, the other part of it, we gotta have an honest conversation. A lot of men don't keep their word post breakup and what they said they were going to do. The promises that you made in lust, you got to be able to keep after when everything's not well. A lot of y'all just get caught up lying or cheating. And if you really that, you'll have your way and just be honest about that too. You get away with a lot if you're just honest. Rip the band-aid off. Prenup, yes, no. Will you sign? Yes, no. If we end, this is what I'll do. Like you said, negotiate during times of peace and not when it's hell on earth.
Yeah.
50% crazy, though.
Do you think that feminine women don't argue with men? Shouldn't argue with men?
I think when things are in alignment and if you have a feminine woman, And I can hear the comments now, like, men got to create a safe space for a woman to be feminine. It's another conversation for another day. I don't know many feminine women that argue like that, to be honest. They may teach you something. Let's say you move correctly. Like, I got snippy the other day. I was tired, exhausted and shit. Hey, listen, it was course correction. It wasn't attitude, bravado, which is masculine. So yeah, in my experience, the women who are truly feminine, you won't have, it's one of the biggest lessons I've learned in the last couple of years. Like, if it's in alignment and the energy is right, there won't be any hard discourse like that. There may be moments to teach, moments to correct, but the fuck you and going back and forth like that, like poetic justice and Janet and all that, that's not gonna happen, yo. Not gonna happen. I know some people may not agree, but if you're truly masculine and she's truly feminine, that would be love even in a discourse. So what do you think? Let's be measured,
my brother. Yeah, I mean, anybody capable of, yeah, I mean, I don't think that, you know, just arguing, period. Who does that? Like, any form of
a lot of people, ironically, though.
Yeah, any form of arguing is toxic, and that's why I don't, men or women. Like, if I have a relationship with somebody that I have to argue with, I don't need to have that relationship. Men or women, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to be in any level of toxicity where I'm
arguing. That's a bar. Hold on. That's a great life lesson, though, because look how much you lose. And if it goes all the way left, or even just in the energy that you're giving up in that moment, it takes you an hour to recalibrate.
No, for a fact. I mean, because there's a few things. If we got to argue, that means that we can't express ourselves fully and we don't respect each other enough to have a conversation. So for me and you, we have a relationship, right?
Yeah.
We've never argued. We might not have always agreed on certain things. We might have conversations. We've had
tough conversations, but no arguing. Yeah.
But there's I'm not disrespecting you. I'm not calling you out your name. I'm not cursing you. I'm not publicly slandering you on social media. Like, if we have to resort to that level, that means that there's a tremendous breakdown in the relationship, right? And that's toxic. That's a toxic relationship. And that's unhealthy. That's unhealthy for my peace of mind, for your peace of mind.
For sure.
It's not something that's conducive to a long-standing partnership, right? Yeah. So I feel the same way with anything in life. I'm not willing to sacrifice my peace.
Facts. And if my mom and dad are to argue with me, ain't a motherfucker on earth that had a right to. I don't want to hear it. Cry, hey, go cry, go tell your therapist, go tell somebody I used to be cool with. But no, I'm not. We can have any conversation. Let it be peaceful, though. But that's a choice. A lot of people choose to have chaos in their life. Shout out to Foxy. One of the things you tell me, like, people choose to have chaos in their life every day. Don't walk into their storm, though. It's a great point. Now we got to wake it up. You brought this up, but I want to ask you. Is Forex a scam designed to take wealth out of the hands of Black people?
Let's show this clip, because this is actually an interesting clip. So let's show this clip.
Yeah.
Forex trade, halal or haram?
I'm not going to answer this. Every time I come to Kenya, to Nigeria, to Uganda, to any African country, the first question is Forex halal or haram? You guys don't have a life? This is the only way of making money quickly? And find me someone who made money and became rich through Forex. One. They all made quick gains and great huge losses. So every single one is addicted. It's like gambling. Oh yes, I'm a professional gambler. How much you made? Oh, nothing, I'm minus 2,000. But inshallah, I'll make it one day. Ya akhi, this is an addiction. You want quick gain and profit. And you know that this platform is designed to scam you, to take your money, and so many haram things in it. Go back to my previous videos, and inshallah, you'll find.
Okay. So This is interesting. This clip is interesting because so this guy, I guess he's a sheikh from Saudi Arabia, who I'm assuming is well versed in finance and makes YouTube videos as well. That's what I got from my cognitive skills. Yeah. And he was speaking, I believe he was in Kenya. So obviously you saw in the video what he's really saying without saying it. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to any black country, black African country, first thing you guys ask me about is Forex. Like, you don't understand that this is a scam. That's pretty much what he's saying, right? Yeah. And so what that's telling me is that in Africa, that's prevalent.
It's rampant.
And he's saying pretty much every African country that I go to, this is the number one question that I'm getting asked. It's just like, and it was interesting because I see the same thing happen in America.
For sure.
And it's like, okay, so it's like marginalized people, right? Mm-hmm. Who have ambition, but might not have that level of opportunity, education, access, whatever, right?
It's or get capital.
Rich. They play off of your emotions,
yep,
as a get rich quick scheme. So when he said that, I'm like, damn, maybe this is a global issue with black people. Now, do I think that Forex market is a scam? No, of course not. It's the biggest trading market in the world. I mean,
allegedly. Like, I'm done with y'all getting that bullshit off too. I told y'all episode 70 when they interviewed me then, that's cap too. All the fucking Vanguard. This one I'm a weaponized MicroStrategy ain't traded a fucking pip. What are we talking about? Allegedly. When we went to the exchange together a few times, you see anybody in the pit talk about Forex? I don't want to hear about the one fucking trade George Soros took in 1922 that Druckenmiller told him to get in. Y'all hated me then. Oh, you don't know, Rashad, how you talk to him. Don't nobody who can actually trade. Go ahead, my brother. I'm sorry.
I feel you. Okay. So, okay. Now, do I think that the whole entire thing is one Ponzi scheme? I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. But I do feel like the multi-level marketing aspect of it and a lot of way that is maybe promoted, especially to what I've saw our community, it definitely is done with the intention of pyramid scheme type vibe.
For sure.
Right? So that was interesting for him to say that in Africa. And he said it in a respectful manner, but it was also kind of like, I don't want to say condescending, but it was a little bit of like...
Well, as a matter of fact, though.
He's like, yo, you guys don't got a life? Like, you don't have a life? Like, why are you always asking me about Forex? He's like, name me one person that got rich off of Forex.
And that's what, and all the people that you guys have met, we can go from high to low. Do any of them ever mention that being in their portfolio? Do you want to take my word for it? Just that y'all met a bunch of billionaires. Y'all met a third of all the black billionaires. Do any of them say, yo, when I got my capital out of venture capital, I swapped it out for GBP, JPY. There are instruments, warrants, restructured debt, collateralized instruments, credit default swaps, futures, options. That's a whole gamut of things that we can talk about. Some that we don't have access to, right? Angel investment at scale, venture capital at scale, water rights, royalties, music rights, media, B2B, B2C, B2 government, restaurant tour. How often does Forex come up? I hate to be the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I know I have a few trading friends. I trade futures, have been damn near 10 years now. I don't know anybody on the institutional side that trades that isn't an option to trade, not like the option instrument, but is it possible? Yes, but no big banks, big governments, big retail traders are leaning there. I mean, the only person I know who trades Forex incredibly well and makes a living from it is Jessica. Ducks trade her ass off. All you other ones who had a Darkwing Duck pattern that y'all was selling with that little bot with and didn't make no money off of it.
And that's actually the only person that we've ever spoken to about Forex.
For sure.
With Jessica. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting because when he said, name me one person that got rich off of Forex. He also said, it's like gambling. He said, you ask any professional gambler, like how much money you make, I'm down 2000. He said a variety of different things in a short period of time, but, he said, yo, don't even ask me about this no more, man. Don't even ask me about this.
I mean, if it's the most traded market in the world, then why doesn't the Saudi royal family or the Vatican do it? Every other investment structure I talked about, the Vatican a part of. You don't have to believe. Go look at the context clues from what people. Now, is it potentially a good way to get started? Hypothetically, but. And the real game, if you're going to trade, is not in the day trading, this even with futures. The real game is in the swing trades. It costs more. There's a reason why the 2-year leap costs more than 0-day option, or a warrant will cost more, or swing trading the S&P 500 or swing trading the VIX costs more because the probability of winning is higher. The real game is the swing trade, though. But shout out to everybody in Forex. I know y'all kill me. And then the market killed y'all. But sometimes truth does not come packaged the way that you want it, but you have to respect it for being the truth nonetheless. And they have Forex futures that you can trade and Forex options you can trade that pay 40 times more. But I've learned not to demonize an audience, so. These are my thoughts and the thoughts of E&J Dunlap and not Rashad or Earn Your Leisure or Troy Millions or Invest Fest. Attack me. Hey, my God, don't clip this up and put this on my page either. I appreciate you. No day options. So,
no day options.
What other financial instruments are targeted towards us to take money from us? This Pop the Balloon show is very, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because what's the CPM on just targeting that and the dating conversations towards us?
Multi-level marketing as a whole. We've never done an episode with a multi-level or multi-level marketing for a reason. I'm sure that there are some level of legitimacy in multi-level marketing, but there's a lot of scam in multi-level marketing.
For sure. For sure. What's the worst? Multi-level marketing or lock the door?
Lock the door, probably, because you can't leave. Multi-level marketing is bad because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Like, they invite you to these meetings. They're like, yo, just come. I started a new business, and I just want to share it with you. And I just, you know, it's like, you know. And then you get there, and then it's like a 30-minute video. Travel video about you deserve the life of the rich and famous, and da, da, da. Then it's like, okay, like if you sign two people up,
they picture you on your life.
If you sign two people up for 2 weeks in a row, then you reach regional level. Once you reach regional level, now those two people have to sign two people, and then those two people have to sign two people, and then those two people have to sign two people, and then you become senior. Diamond status, and then semen diamond status, you make $10,000 a month residual income. Then if you can actually get to the point where you have 10 people under your umbrella, then you'll be platinum gold, and then the platinum gold, you'll be making $100,000 a month, and you get to travel free. Like, remember the You Should Be Here shit?
Legendary. Yeah, I remember. Yep.
Legendary.
Yep.
Legendary World Ventures. What happened to the World Ventures situation? Wonder. Legendary.
Shit. Herbalife stock at $8.84. And they publicly traded.
Coffee. Crazy. They was pushing coffee at one point.
Melaleuca. Yeah, I remember the coffee play. Origami Gold or whatever it was called. I'm like, nigga, y'all competing against Starbucks? Ooh, tough. Gotta be more careful. You don't have to listen to me or Rashad. Just when like Oprah and Paul Tudor Jones and Robert Smith get to talking, Mike Novogratz, you should listen to what they have to say. If they say it in concert too, like when even for him to say it, I know it was very flippant and dismissive, but at least he gave you the truth. He could have lied to you and sold you a Forex brokerage that they own. If they want to, that's a toxic asset. Toxic asset.
So, yeah. Okay. Moving right along.
Moving forward.
Is Speed. So I show Speed. He's in China right now, doing all kinds of bunch of stuff. Kung Fu, China, climbing the wall, backflips. He's doing the whole thing. Is he being used for propaganda purposes in China?
First, I want to say I like Speed. I think he's a hell of a creator. I like his energy. I think he's a good business person, hella creative. But you know what made me think of this? Your rant about positive propaganda in China last week on Instagram. As soon as you said that, now he landed on a wall of the Great Ladder of China. I said, I didn't even know China had a ladder that was invisible. Now you're all around. I'm like, what? CCP is the last person I remember China. Oh, that was North Korea that raised Dennis Rodman. He was the first black ambassador. I don't want to teach y'all about race relations in other countries, but not the most favorable for us. But I just thought it was really interesting. After you said that, 4 or 5 days later, he's in China doing a Twitch-a-thon or whatever he was doing. So, and I'm sure the bag was lucrative, so I'm not mad at him for getting that. But do you think he's being used? And can we talk about how China's playing the perfect game on every level? Like, I wouldn't even think they would target a black creator.
I mean, it's the Dubai play. That's exactly what Dubai did early, was have influence. Everybody knows that black Americans have the most influence in the world. That's a fact. That's a non-debatable fact. Yeah. So if you're trying to quickly reshape world perception and attract tourism and you get black musicians, athletes, influencers, that's the play that Dubai ran. That's the place. Saudi Arabia had one of the most strict regimes forever.
For sure.
They want to turn around the image of the country. They put in trillions of dollars into it. Is it a coincidence that they start throwing music festivals? Who's the first people that they have? Future, DJ Khaled, Fat Joe was out there. They had Kanye out there a year and a half ago when he was recording his album and set him up, his whole city. He had a whole city set up out there. Like, no, I mean, this is the pathway that has been done for a while now. And it'd be interesting to see how far China goes with this. Is this a one-off situation or now is next? Are you going to see Kai Cenat out there next? Are you going to see Drewski out there next? Because if you see that, then you know, okay, this is intentionally done to reshape the global image of China as far as tourism. Because that's the one thing that they really don't have, right? One thing that America has a lot of things going bad for itself, but the idea of the American dream, right? Where it's like people from around the world want to come to America because you think that on a certain level, there's some level of aspiration that you can actually assimilate, create, you know, your own part of this situation, and you can excel. Nobody, I've never heard one person to say that they want to move to China.
Yeah.
You might end up moving to China just because you might, you know, you might be in a situation where, but I don't know anybody that wants to go to China, right?
But, poor or rich.
Right. Now, if they could start selling the China dream.
Hello.
Now, we're really in trouble.
For sure.
If they have a China dream and start making it look like, oh, this is actually a vibe. This is crazy. Like,
and some of the major cities look better than some of ours.
No, for sure. I mean, the architecture and everything is like Dubai. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not out there like that. People don't really see it because nobody goes there. It's not like a travel destination, right?
Yeah.
But that could change.
Fast and Furious China. Shanghai coming soon.
So shout out to him. I mean, I think he's, you know, and this is, look, he's not the first person to go to China. I mean, Kobe, they've been doing the Nike thing. He's been doing it for a while. Kyrie, you know, but it's just interesting to just, it's one thing to see, you know, Hall of Fame basketball players making world tours going to China. That makes sense. Nike, that's the biggest shoe market in the world is China. That's where the shoes are made in China. That makes sense. When you start to see streamers.
Yep.
Taking tours and you know, and these are guided tours. Not like he's just setting this up for himself. Like, these are guided tours, so you know that the government is in on it.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Right? They see the value that he has. They see the value. And he's doing a good job of traveling all over the world. And he's building up his global fan base crazy. Like, he's a smart guy because he picks the sport that everybody loves globally, which is soccer.
Yeah. Right?
That's his sport. And he's championing that, and he's going to the Philippines, he's going to Brazil, he's going to all these countries. So it's like, Kai Cenat is huge, but I think Kai is bigger in America. I think Speed is bigger internationally.
Internationally, for sure.
He's done a lot of international groundwork.
Yeah. And a good person to learn from, even though he's young. I tell business people all the time, like, you have to look at what the youth is doing. You can't argue with the numbers. You cannot argue with the numbers. Like, and then for him to shut down some cities, like you said, I think he's bigger internationally. But I just thought it was fascinating after you mentioned that he was there and that was getting pushed a lot on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put in chat. What do you think? What do you guys think? Okay. Bill Gates.
What will William do?
He's predicting that most humans will not be needed for most things due to artificial intelligence. I think he said teachers and doctors for sure over the next 10 years will be less needed because of artificial intelligence.
Yep.
What's your thoughts?
The scary part is that the AI is still like, we're at the Nintendo level of AI. And it's really good. I'm afraid what the AI is going to look like in 2030 or 2031. Even when I do like ChatGPT versus Claude versus Manish, even if you don't have access to Manish AI in China, they have like a tech demo breakdown of them analyzing Tesla stock. It's damn near on par with like a tier below a Bloomberg terminal. So we said it last week and a lot of people was upset and we were alarmist and extremist, and but it's over. I agree. And Bill Gates is one of the people who helps draft and maybe create some of these narratives for sure. But this one, he's right about. Even if you travel, like we talked about a commercial real estate, there's a softening in that market. Residential real estate, you told me that alarmist stat that 11% of people are behind on their mortgage payment. That is alarming. People are not outside as much money is not there. And I think they are going to use this as a tool to get rid of most jobs. And I don't even know if we've have universal basic income. We talked about this on Stock Club call last week. I don't know if there's a plan. Let's say hypothetically 3 million people get laid off. Social Security is drying up. They want to move the retirement age up. Pension plans are broken. Most cities are broke. I don't know if we can afford quantitative easing again to then install UBI. And our leadership isn't thinking that far ahead. I'm gonna be honest. So it's alarming to hear, but I think this is very true. And I think this is being done partially by design. But you're the historian. So tell me, in world history and like terms of trajectory, do you see that this is possible? You need to run for president, bro. Like, oh, I knew you was gonna do the governor thing, and but go right to
the top. Start at the top.
For real.
You know, AI is like your birthday in a sense. Whereas, like, you know, they say like the age that you are, you'll never be younger than what you are today.
Mm-hmm.
Every day you get older. That's guaranteed fact. You're never going to be younger than you are currently at this moment. Yeah. Even next minute, you're older. AI is never going to be dumber than it is now.
No.
It's never going to be like it only advances.
For sure.
It's only going to advance. It's only getting smarter. It's only getting more comprehensive. So this iteration that we have of AI now, like you said, this is the lowest level of AI currently that we have. It's going to get better and better and better and better and better. So think about what it can do now, which is crazy. I mean, it can do so much stuff right now. So if this is a floor and it's only going up, right? Every day it gets smarter. Every minute, artificial intelligence gets smarter. Every day it has more capabilities. Of course, in 10 years, what is it going to be able to do? I mean, it's almost unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that it's going to take away most human jobs, yes, for sure.
Yep. And if they get that liquid cooling and them GPUs stop melting, you can run it endlessly. And then we talked about agentic AI on Market Mondays, and then however long it takes them to get the physical robotics down, it's tough. And the crazy part is, in order for us not to be a non-superpower, we have to have the technology before China does. The thing that's scary about DeepSeek and Manus AI, if they get Manus AI to truly be agentic across the board, China can kill Salesforce in 2 years. Fuck all the automation, and then you got a prompt for this list and the VIP list. If a Chinese company comes in and says, hey, upload whatever prompt you want, and it's going to do all the work for you, and you just have to manage it, a team of 20 will be able to take down a corporation of 8,000 or 9,000. Yeah. This is a different level of warfare. And the crazy part is, there's no more patriotism in America how it used to be amongst white people. Like, white kids won't get off TikTok to save the country. You think if there's a multiple of 10 or 15 X you'll get in the business, that most companies won't use Manus over OpenAI? It's over with. And if we talk about the dead internet theory, most of the internet is bots anyway. This is just like the evolution of it. But like, I'll put it in ChatGPT. Assembly line workers, bank tellers, travel agents, legal assistants, bookkeeping, customer service, data entry, sales, marketing. It's over with. I saw a dude take that little anime thing out of ChatGPT 4.0 and make an animated series out of it over the weekend. It would take most designers 3 months to put that out. It's going to be scary. I'm not going to lie to you. It's over. We try to tell you. It's over. And to be very honest, it doesn't benefit us as black business people to tell a predominantly black audience that it's over. We could do like the pastor did and lock the door and gatekeep the information and not tell you. But we're always going to tell you the truth. We have to move a lot faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Love languages.
I got a question. Is love languages some bullshit? I know this is one of the most popular books of all time. I'm going through like my research right now, right? And all the categories of books, so well, titles and stuff. But we got to have a conversation about these love languages. Because no one is just primarily one thing. And if the love languages book works so well, why are divorces higher than ever?
Well, I think you can be multiple. I think you can have multiple love languages.
Okay. There's some love languages that's left out too.
Huh?
There's something that's left out too in that
book. Which ones is left out?
Grandma watching. Blackout investors, we're gonna talk, but sexual love languages, they gotta write that book.
Well, that's the physical touch that goes under physical touch, I think.
Yeah, but all physical touch ain't rated equal.
Well, for sure.
Yeah. But you were saying, my brother.
I think you can have, from my understanding, most people have multiple love languages.
For sure.
That they prioritize. Maybe like two or three. Two or three love languages.
Yeah.
Right? But I do feel that it's legitimate, though. I don't think the love languages is a scam. Because I do feel like, for the most part, they've covered everything. Like, they whoever wrote that book, what's the guy's name?
Gary Chapman.
Yeah, he's actually done a pretty good job. Because, okay, you got words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like saying, like, yo, you're a great person. You're so smart. You're intelligent. You're beautiful. These is, you know, affirming words. And some people need to have words of affirmation because it helps them. Like, you know, it helps their psyche. It helps them go forward. It helps them everything that they have. Some people don't need words of affirmation as much. Everybody needs encouragement and words of affirmation, but some people, it means more to them. Some people have a problem with communicating words of affirmation, right? Some people, they're perfectly fine with communicating words of affirmation. So the words of affirmation is one thing. Then you have the acts of service. Now, this is a big one because I never fully understood this acts of service thing, but because I always thought acts of service, that was the weakest love language, but this is actually probably
top tier.
Yeah, this is important. So acts of service, I guess, from a woman's standpoint, is somebody that's, you know, they're going to put the TV on the wall. They're going to come and they're going to, you know, be the handyman.
Put her on the wall while you trying to be a handyman. While you up there drilling the HD, you better, hey, give us some HD. 4K, my boy, baby boy.
So all of these things. But for a man, I think the physical, the acts of service comes into play where it's like cooking, cleaning, doing things that's not required or not asked of you to do, right? Like, you know,
that's big.
These are acts of services that I think, this is actually a pretty big one. The acts of services is pretty big. I never fully understood that, but I do now.
If you got older, yeah, it's important.
Quality time, pretty self-explanatory.
For sure.
I think quality time and some of these overlap each other. Like, to me, quality time is okay. One thing, right? We spend time with each other. That's pretty obvious. But quality time, okay. So the next one is and some people, quality time is more important than others. But the next one is, well, gifts. Gifts is one also.
Yeah.
Right. So gifts is one, and the thing with the gifts is that quality time and gifts can overlap. Meaning, if my quality time is taking you to Aruba, well, that's a gift also.
For sure.
So now these two come together as one.
Combination.
The combination play.
Yeah.
And physical touch.
That's self-explanatory. Yeah. Yeah.
That's important.
I think some matrix. Did you know that there were expanded love languages though?
What's the expanded ones?
So shared experiences.
Well, that might be the Aruba trip then.
See?
See?
Okay. Emotional security. Oh,
emotional security?
Yeah, feeling safe, supported, or free from judgment. We listen and we don't judge. And express emotions and vulnerabilities. Third is intellectual connection, which is really important. Oh my God. And then personal space and solitude. Showing love by giving a person respect and respecting their boundaries to have alone time.
So the personal space and solitude would be the opposite of quality time.
You can have quality time together and then go have your own little personal time out after. Because that's not talked about enough. You can't be up under a person 24/7 days a week. Like, you got to have some time to you to develop you and build. And like, even if you're a parent, you don't want to be underneath your kid 24 hours a day. You spend quality time, go do your thing. Hey, you go play, and you come back and reconvene.
That happens though, especially like in an older relationship, older day, even how it's like you almost become one with a person.
Because like,
everything you do, that person is there all the time. That person is there. You can live together. You go grocery shopping together. You go on power walks together. You go to like literally like everywhere you go. Legendary.
But this is another thing you have to have a conversation about: how much quality time versus how much personal time. But some fellas, you can't be up under your girl. All you gotta be on your purpose and mission, not to go red pill, but like she want to see you do some shit.
Yeah.
So, for everyone in the comments, in addition to the five primary love languages, the four that I added or that are added: shared experiences, emotional security, intellectual connection, and personal space, which are most important to you? Because I think the thing is to figure out the nine and how you need them and how your partner need them and making sure that they overlap or that you have like a framework for it to work out. So, but Gary sold a lot of books, yo. I think 27 million. Oh, shit. What?
All for that?
Yeah.
Legendary.
For real.
Legendary. Okay. Where are we at next?
The founder of Nikola was pardoned after the fraud investors. So
$2 million made a job done.
It's illegal. Should it be legal?
To what? Pay for pardon?
To be able to,
I don't think paying for pardon is illegal. So I think it's allegedly, it's all about how it's done. You know, I think
personal lobbying.
Some contributions might have been made to a campaign, and you know, you gotta schmooze it out, I think, a certain way. To kind of so it doesn't look like you're directly paying for your freedom.
So you can't do it to like a Shopify page or nothing, right?
Get out of jail free card. Oh, you can maybe just buy
a $2 million good investment though. He looked happy in that car.
I mean, you gotta do it. It's one of these things. How much is your freedom worth?
For sure. That's a great question.
Gotta do it. Gotta pay the cost.
I'm not mad at him. A little light too. Yeah.
$2 million, get the job done. Back on your feet. Back on your feet.
I ain't gonna say it, but you know what I'm thinking.
Yes, sir.
We got a question from the audience, and I've been asked this a couple times, so I want to ask you, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on men and women attending the strip club while in a serious relationship? Can they attend? What are the do's and don'ts? Can your partner touch the stripper? I've gotten this question from this person like 9 weeks in a row, so I wanted
so they want to go to a strip club.
Pretty much.
To me, strip clubs have always been a thing of randomness. And I'm not like an avid strip club goer.
Yeah.
I might go once in a blue moon. Yeah. And if you're in a relationship, I feel like you should be able to go with the person that you're in a relationship with.
Yeah. That sounds like he's trying to bust a euro and give a reason through us why he can go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if it's like a dying...
Take your baby with you.
If it's like a dying desire in your heart to go to a strip club, like, that's kind of a weird situation. But if it's like, you know, you just want a strip club, like, oh, come on, like, come with me, or don't come, or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like it's when you, like, every Tuesday, you're like...
Dying to go?
Early hours by the bar, like that, you might got a problem.
The 4 p.m. That crazy.
Now you got a problem. Now you got a problem. You got a problem on your hands. So, and that's not healthy for your relationship. So,
yeah,
moderation when it comes to those type of environments. Moderation. Don't overdo it.
For sure.
Tastefully done.
Because them girls gonna find a way. If you are afraid to ask your woman, can you go to the strip club? Them little sex workers gonna get $7,000 out of you every trip,
at least. And gentlemen's club preferred over strip clubs.
Why? Tastefully. Tell us why.
It's more of a tasteful vibe. It's a less pressure. You're gonna from an economic standpoint, you're gonna spend less money. But you know, the gentlemen's club, they're not like the strip club. You're throwing money. It's, gentlemen's club, you're sitting down, you have a conversation, you get the lap dance if you want, you know, it's a vibe. It's like, it's a
more intimate, less expensive experience.
It's like going to a lounge versus a club.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, think about it like that. The strip club is the actual club, the gentleman's club is the lounge.
Lounge. But just ask her, can you go, or go with you, and then go in there and not be thirsty. That's the issue. Like, if you're having an issue going, she probably know how you gonna act. Hella thirsty, embarrassing, boy. Then you end up on social media, just, you know, or get you something bad enough that you don't want to go to the strip club. Helps. Well, I wish you well. I love you dearly. Thank you for tuning into the show.
Appreciate
you. And if you want to get rich from the market after you blow your money in booby trap, go to ianinvest.com and I can tell you what to invest in. Putting money into their hands is not an investment, for the record. So, unless they bring you business, but you can't frequent often if that's the case.
That's a fact.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else we need to discuss? Let's see.
One thing I want to, but nope. I will just say this: karma always catches up.
What's one thing that you used to believe that you no longer do?
That we can be saved.
That we can be saved?
Yeah.
As Black people? Yeah.
It's over with, bro. Like that, the GTC was so amazing for a bunch of reasons.
Damn.
But never did I thought I would see the day where you like, remember when Kawhi checks in the game and LeBron was like, fuck, like, you know, you're not winning. When we saw all them kids of a certain there and none of us, and then see all the tech that's coming out, and my thing with tech, because I've been in love with technology since I was a kid. Whatever they're telling you about now, the government has 7 times something better than that that has not been deployed to the consumer market.
That's a fact.
So, if these are the GPUs we can see, and the liquid cooling we can see, and ultra inverter, what's in 2034 when their wealth gap is supposed to be at zero? Anyway, I don't find the timing of this by accident at all. So, and I feel like as soon as we got an inkling of how to invest, how to do business at scale, Black women are starting businesses quicker than ever, then here comes the DEI bullshit. And what's a way to kill progress with that? Okay, they learned before to not put a face to the racism. Kanye, mistake made. Let's use the tech to do it. The same thing that China is doing to us. And the software war, the power structure is doing to our community in real time. And there's no way to... How do you protest a software that is so great that is better than anything that the country has. Like, it's like when Drake fought Kendrick. You're fighting Kanye, Hov, Future, Iovine, Dre, DJ Head. You're fighting a fucking machine.
DJ Head. Oh.
It's tough. It's tough. Even people, hey, I mean, I know you said it's over with. What do you do? I'm trying to figure out faster. Okay, great. Get the house, pay it off, free and clear, F/C. Go to Mexico. Cool. Bill. It's over with. It's over with. Save me some on Bilal Boulevard. You know I'm good for it. It's over with, bro. Holy Trinity, United States, Ghana, Mexico. It's over with. And it's the scary part. If Sam wanted to be a smarter version of Elon, and let's say hypothetically he got together with Peter Thiel to 2v1 Elon. Right now, OpenAI has IP on every sector in the fucking world and could remix and reimagine all of that IP and sell it back to every sector on Earth. How do you combat that? It's like fighting you with a better you. Like, what? Right.
Well,
see you at InvestFest. If somebody can make an AI version of old Kanye, please do so. I don't want to hear Nazis in Paris, but pray for the brother.
Pray. We got to pray for the brother, please, man.
Mm-hmm. But he did make a good point about betrayal, though.
He's always going to make good points in between, and you know, mm-hmm. would you have conducted that interview?
I think act wild for that. No, I don't think every look is a good look if you already good looking.
I'll tell you what, this is a real story. So the person will remain nameless.
Remain nameless. Yeah.
We had an interview. This is when we had the show with Revolt, and
are you going to tell him?
I won't say who it was.
Okay.
But they had a mask on, right? And you know, the directors and everybody, they was like, yo, X, Y, and Z, he has a mask on. Like, I don't, you know, I think we're gonna have to do the interview with a mask on, like, you know, like one of the ski masks, like the Push Ice D things. Long story short, they were scared to ask him to take the mask off. I'm like, well, we're not doing an interview with somebody with a mask. I'm not talking to like you. Yeah. I'm just from a common sense standpoint, right? I'm not having a conversation indoors with somebody that has a mask on. So I'm just like, yo, bro, you know, you mind, you know, taking the mask off for the interview? He's like, no problem. Say that to say, sometimes how you deliver things, the core messaging, not being scared to say things, like, and shout out to, I got nothing against, like, you know, I actually respect what he's been able to build, but I'm just saying, I'm not doing an interview with somebody with a Ku Klux Klan hat on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like just have a rational kind of like, yo, yeah, bro, I don't know what you're doing. I can't get it, but just on some man shit, right? Like, if I see you in the street, if I saw you on the street in Walmart, I'm not having a conversation with somebody I can't see them, right? Yeah. So I'm not going to do it on camera. Like, we're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Like, let's just, for the sake of respect for each other,
yes,
right, because I have a tremendous amount of respect for you, out of respect for each other, right, would you mind taking that shit off your head?
Mm-hmm. And it's too late to hide your face when Tata see you anyway. Okay, play stupid games, you want stupid. Hey, my boy, baby boy, you can run to Japan all konnichiwa, you can run to Japan all you want to. Okay.
Baby girl, let me see you do your dance, let me see you twirl.
You're gonna lose a lot more to your rights to Northwest. You keep playing. You bark, don't not let that tree fall on you. That is a sequoia. That's them old giant trees, 700 feet in the air. Must
baby girl.
This video should be dropping this week, I think.
The baby girl thing?
Yeah, Nokia joint.
Nokia, Drake back at it. He back on top.
Yeah.
He back on top.
I was talking to my guy, Tika Gucci. Happy belated birthday. Appreciate you. My bad, I couldn't go to the party, but good.
Yes, sir. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I think we covered it.
It's over.
It's been real.
Yeah. If any of you have a blueprint for us to catch up while fighting Terminator, go watch Terminator and just look at ChatGPT as that, but you can't see the Arnold Schwarzenegger robot yet. They always tell you in the movie.
That's a fact.
They always tell you. Yeah.
Get your tickets to InvestFest, ladies and gentlemen.
For sure.
Vitally important. InvestFest.com. Go to ianinvest.com. Let us know who you would like to see on Blackout, whether it's live or whether it's on the show. Mm-hmm. Tune in to Market Mondays. No EYL episode this week. We'll be back next week. And it's been real.
Yeah. Check out my interview with Ross Mack on Yahoo Finance. That should be dropping this week. Shout out to my brother Ross Mack.
Salute to Ross Mack.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody at Yahoo Finance. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to Kino. I love you, brother. We had to.
Just hold your head.
Yeah, hold your head.
Hold your head. All right, y'all.
Love y'all. Peace.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money. Like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.